Coming up on today's show.
A lot of people look at me and was like, oh, you've been bullied? Like, I don't believe that and stuff like that. But yeah, like I have my own stories and it does happen. And we want to prevent more suicides. We want to prevent more wrong things that happens in school.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Remember, too, about the other free option for interaction with this show that I've been mentioning the last few weeks, Featured Up, which you can find a link to in this episode's description. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Miami, my guest is a singer, songwriter, and recording artist who just released a new song this past Friday, marking already her fifth single release this year, working with a multi-Grammy award-winning producer along the way. She is the co-owner of an independent music label called Muy Bueno, and 2 years ago, one of her songs hit #3 on the Portugal pop chart and #40 in Portugal all genres charts. Another song of hers from the year before hit #5 on iTunes pop charts and 15 overall in South Africa. Meanwhile, she has more than made her mark on social media with more than 15.5 million combined video views on her official YouTube channel and 3.7 million followers on TikTok alone. You've been hearing a song of hers called Licorice. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Gabby B.
Hi.
Gabby, thank you so much for making time to talk with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
I'm great. And as the audience can tell from the intro, you have got a lot going on. So let's start off by having you talk first about the song that was just playing called Licorice, since I was talking over it and the lyrics could not be heard clearly.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Licorice is one of my first, like, traditional funk-style song. And if you don't know what funk is, it's a Brazilian genre, very popular genre. We have many genres in general, but this is, like, becoming, like, even more pop and stuff like that. So Licorice, you know, the chucha, that's what kind of what it makes it funk style. And it's really just, like, a fun type of song. And it's in Portuguese and English. And it's just like supposed to make you feel good and dance and everything. And like the lyrics is like kind of like in like teenage years, like teenage like generation, how like you go to a club or a party and you see like this cute person and, you know, you like feel like you want to like get to know them and things like that. That's kind of like what the song is like about. And yeah, it's just like a fun song you can dance to and vibe.
I want the audience to go and look up the song so that they can hear it in its entirety. And again, since I was talking over it, they can hear it clearly. But the song audience, the title is spelled L-I-C-K-O-R-I-S-H. Gabby, why is the title spelled that way? Is there some kind of special meaning to that spelling?
Yeah, so the reason why, well, first, I knew licorice was spelled like licorice. Like, the way I read it is like licorice.
Right.
First, for like the chorus, it sounded like really catchy when I was making it with my producer, Mr. Hit Record. His name's Joe. And then, like, since I read it like licorice, like, that's how I would spell it if I was reading it. I thought it would be like fun to like me and my producer, we thought it was fun to like change it up instead of saying licorice, we say licorice and could play off the whole lick vibe.
I like that. So are you a co-writer on the song? You did not write it all by yourself, correct?
Yes, I write it. Some sentences or words could be with my producer. Like, we work on songs together. If they're in Portuguese, that's all me usually. And then English, we combine like our ideas and everything and like come up with like the best things.
So how do you decide if you're going to record a song in English and Spanish and Portuguese or some combination of languages? What makes you decide when I sit down to write this song today, it's going to be in whichever one of those languages?
It's really just the vibe. Like, what am I feeling? What is the song like going to be about? And like, just the vibe, like, since obviously like my first language is Portuguese, and it's always like a thought process, like not really much thought process, but like, it's all about the vibe. So but if we're doing a song and it's like funk kind of style, or, you know, it sounds more Latin-y, that's when we decide, okay, let's write this verse or this part in Portuguese or in Spanish or in English. And a lot of times I like to mix up the languages in one song. I like to make it like fusion because, you know, that's what I am.
Well, and from a marketing standpoint, I love the idea of you doing a song in two languages because you're going to draw in the English-speaking crowd and the Spanish-speaking crowd or the Portuguese crowd or whichever other language you choose to do it. So I think it's really smart. I wonder, obviously, in your case, Gabby, your voice is your instrument. Do you, however, play, say, just enough guitar or just enough piano that when you are writing songs, you're kind of roughing it out on one of those instruments, or no?
I usually let my producer like worry about the instruments part of the song. He makes all the beats right then and there. Like, I'm sitting there and then, you know, he could add. Sometimes I could think like, oh, maybe this needs some guitar, or it would be cool if we can put, you know, piano with a violin or something. You know, there's that type of conversation. But usually my producer, Joe, is the one that produces like the instruments, the beats and everything.
Yeah, or maybe I'm picturing you're coming to the studio and you've got some voice notes where you've sung a song idea into your phone. So there's a little bit of melody, but obviously, as you just said, there's no instrumentation yet.
Yeah, usually, like, I've had, like, poems before on my phone and stuff like that. But usually how we work on it is, like, we get the instruments, the beat done first, and then we start writing the melody and then the lyrics.
Okay.
So the lyrics would be, like, process.
I see. As evidenced by the massive following that I mentioned in the intro, there are going to be people coming to this episode of Now Hear This Entertainment because they are Gabby B fans. And thank you, by the way, to those folks. Hello, welcome. Do please check out other episodes of this show. But Gabby, in my 10 plus years of doing this show every week, I have been fortunate to get listeners from 165 countries around the world, which means there are going to be people just being introduced to you for the first time. When I brought you on, I introduced you as calling in from Miami. Not only are you Brazilian, as in we're actually born in Brazil, but there has been quite a journey from down there in South America to eventually the United States and, of course, South Florida in particular. Tell us about all of that, meaning where you have lived and why all this moving around.
Yeah, so I was born in Brazil, and my parents basically, you know, we've all moved to France. So I grew up in France like my whole childhood. And then afterwards, that's when we came to America. And then I stayed here for, I think, about a year and a half until I moved to Canada. So first, yeah, France, and we lived like in different like places in France. And then like when we came to America, I lived in Massachusetts. And then from Massachusetts, we moved to Canada, Montreal, the Quebec. That's where I lived there. And really, it was more because of my dad, because growing up, my whole life, it was always about capoeira. Capoeira is a Brazilian martial arts. Well, it's not like jiu-jitsu, but it's like similar in a sense it's a martial arts. But my whole life, it's always been about that. Some people say like, oh, they move around a lot because of military. Me, it's more because of the entertainment, my parents' entertainment. My dad, he's a master and a teacher. So like when we were going to France, we were really going for like a, we call bachizado, which is really like when people from different countries that is in capoeira, they come together and then they kind of graduate to another belt. So that's like what we were doing. And then we ended up staying in France and for like years. So basically that was like my story until coming to Massachusetts. And then from Massachusetts to Canada. Canada, I have no idea. It's really like we just decided to move there. I have no idea. But then we came back to Massachusetts. And then after, when I turned 15, that's when I moved to Florida. And I've been living here ever since.
Okay, but not you by yourself. Your family moved also.
Yeah, my parents moved with me. They brought me along.
Well, that's a fascinating story because you're right. I think when people hear about someone who was born in Brazil, moved to France, moved to Massachusetts, moved to Canada, eventually moved to Miami, I think the temptation is for people to say, oh, well, they're probably a military family. Why are you asking her that question? And here you are to say it's actually very, very different from that. And that's fascinating. I could tell that this has been your father's passion, that he has stuck with it to the point of moving his whole family so much.
Yeah, for sure. So it's always been about that specifically. And then we just ended up, you know, we're kind of like the type of family to not like to stay in the same place for too long. Usually, like, we move, even if we're in the same state, we move from different houses to different houses all the time. It's kind of like always like that. But yeah, you know, my mom was also an entertainer. Like, she did samba and dance and sing at events with my dad. Sometimes, like, the company would want both of them together, and then I would go with them, see them perform all the time. And that's kind of like how my love for entertainment grew, because it was like my whole life.
Yeah, please continue on that, because I would love for you to share your story as far as your background in performing.
Yeah, so like when I was little, my first dream was to draw. Like, I used to love drawing because I'm an only child. So I had nobody to talk to. And my drawing was like what really entertained me in my life. And then it turned into like more acting. Like, I fell in love with, like, you know, movie actors and like how like they performed and everything. And I thought that was really interesting. Everything in the entertainment, like, I really loved. And I was like, I want to be something in the entertainment when I grow up. I don't know what, but I love to sing. I love to dance and draw and all of this. And my parents would never leave me with a babysitter. So I would always go with them to events when they would perform. So, like, seeing all of that, I was, like, so infatuated. I think that's the word. Yeah, and, you know, I also do capoeira. My mom does, too. So it's, like, a whole family thing.
So does that mean that you just kind of decided, I'm going to sing also? Or did your parents coax you into singing? How did you actually start getting behind the microphone and then developing this performance career?
I've always loved to sing growing up. Like, I used to, when I learned English, it was through Disney Channel. I used to be obsessed with Hannah Montana. So, like, I was learning how to talk like her. And then when I lived in France, I was obsessed with America. So that was one thing. Like, I would always sing in English or try to sing in English. I wouldn't really make sense, but, like, I would try to, like, mimic the words that Americans would say and everything. And, like, I would try to write songs in English since I was little. So singing has always been, like, something I've always had a passion for and never knew I could do as a career, because I've always seen how hard it is. And, like, dancing, too, goes hand in hand with that, especially, like, because my first concert was Britney Spears, and my mom used to be such a fan of Britney Spears, and, like, that made me be a fan of Britney Spears. So I used to, like, love her entertainment. You know, she sang and danced, and I thought that was just so, like, beautiful. And then, like, when I was 18, I have, like, this best friend that I met in Florida, and his family heard me sing, and they, like, wanted to help me out in that. It was, like, very random. It wasn't even, like, nothing was planned. It was more like, you know, they heard me sing because it was, like, Halloween, and I was singing a Halloween song, and then they were like, wow, she sings beautifully. And then they're like, oh, let's, like, why don't we, you know, get you to do some covers at the studio? And it was just kind of, like, a fun thing. It wasn't, like, really serious. And then, like, I did covers in, like, three different languages, French, Portuguese, and English. And then from that, that's when, like, it took it to the next level. And my best friend's father, like, wanted to, like, start this new thing with me and my career. And that's where, you know, my artist life was born. And, you know, we went to Atlanta to record my first record, and it went from there.
So I have two follow-up questions. And number one is, did you at some point actually take English lessons and study the language as opposed to just repeating lyrics that you're hearing Britney Spears or Hannah Montana, where you don't know what you're singing, you're just singing the words?
Yeah, so I started learning in school when I came to live in Massachusetts. My whole thing with living in France was, you know, the movies, how they showed the yellow school buses and the notebooks. There's just specific things about America that I was so obsessed with, and I'm like, I want to go to school so badly in America. And then finally, like, I got here at a good age that I went to school, and it was definitely hard at first because, you know, I didn't really know the language that well, but it was like such like an experience for me because I was so excited. But yeah, I have studied in school many years.
The other follow-up question is, you talked about this random occurrence where this friend, they said, she has a really good voice, you should come and sing. And next thing you know, you're telling me you're in Atlanta recording your first project. But did you ever actually take voice lessons? Or is it, no, I was just blessed with natural singing talent and that's what caught their attention?
Yeah, no, I've never taken singing lessons. It was more like, I grew up listening to like a lot of American singers like Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, and I was just like, wow, like the way they like do the technical vocals, you know, like it's like so beautiful. And I like always like practiced, but like not even like practiced because like, you know, I wanted to be just like them, but it was like I wanted to know how they did that, and I wanted to like songs and everything, and like I would just mimic the way they did it, and then I would be practicing like my whole life the way they sang their songs, and I thought it was beautiful. So I guess like growing up I just got better and better. I don't know, but I've never had singing lessons.
But now, after we just heard you talk about people like Hannah Montana, people like Britney Spears, what would you point to that led to crossing over to the Latin music scene?
So, well, mostly because I'm Latin, you know, Brazil is in Latin America. I'm not, you know, the typical Latina who speaks Spanish, but I'm still Latina and, you know, I look like a Latina. So, and the way like I like to move and everything is like just from where I grew up, like my whole culture was Brazilian culture. My parents, my family, like everybody that's literally related to me is Brazilian, and that's like my culture, even living in France. So like I thought it would be a good idea to get into the Latin world, especially living in Miami now and like dipping my toes into the Spanish world. And that's the reason why I also doing that, not only like, you know, singing in Portuguese, my native language, but also like dipping into the Spanish world and the Latin world, you know, the Carol G's of the world and everything, because I appreciate the culture and I'm a very cultural person. Like growing up in these countries, I've had friends from all over the place, from Russia to China to Japan to like Ukraine. It's been like always like different types of people that I've been friends with and learned more about their culture. And that's who I am in the music. I'm cultural.
So it wasn't necessarily a decision that you made because you felt the pressure to. I'm referring to, I came down to Miami and I sat down with Adriana Foster. She had moved here from Mexico and she said that she was thriving in Miami doing her music. And yet the people back in Mexico, and these are my words, not hers, but they, for all intents and purposes, turned their back on her because they thought she shouldn't have left Mexico and that she owed it to them to stay there and develop her music career there. You're saying that you went the route that you did because it's just who you are and it's just in your blood, not because you felt the pressure that, oh, well, I'm from Brazil, I guess I better do Latin music.
Oh, no. Yeah, funk, like that genre has always been in me. Like I grew up on that, you know, in Brazil and everything. Like Brazilian culture is me, but cultural in general, because I've moved so many different places, I didn't grow up in Brazil. That's why I'm doing different elements in my songs. That's why my songs sound so like culturally, because that's just who I am growing up. Like that's what I've seen and everything. So it's really just because of, you know, now I'm living in Miami and there's a different culture that I am experiencing now, and this is the reggaeton, the Latin side, that I'm like, oh wow, like this is beautiful, like people love this type of genre, and I was getting into it and everything, and I'm like, this is nice. So I like to incorporate everything and still be me in the songs, you know. Yeah,
I like that. I like that. So now that we just heard everything that it has taken for you to get to this point, how meaningful is it to you, and what all went into becoming an independent label co-owner?
Oh, well, it's all because of my, I call them my family now, the people who helped me since the beginning with my career. They're the ones that have really put me in this position, and I like thank them so much, because I feel like I would never be in the situation of having like my own business and being able to do my own songs, because like this career industry, like the music industry, is very tough, and without them, like I would have never had these things that I've been having, these opportunities. So like it all shout out to my team, really.
I mentioned in the intro that this past Friday, you released a new single, which is called Vibe Nabatita. This comes along, thankfully, at a time when there are just so many heavy things weighing people down these days. Instead of a glass half empty mindset, tell the audience, Gabby, what Vibe Nabatita is all about, as well as who you worked with on it.
Oh, yeah. So Vibe Nabatita is mostly in Portuguese. There's some English words that I put in there for the English public to understand at least a part of the song. But it's really just a fun vibe that like everyone can just feel good. It's really like that type of pop song that is like just like worldly, you know, just like you can be like cooking food and then enjoying the song. You know what I'm saying? So like Vibe Nabatita is really just that. It's like, you know, I'm living my life. I'm doing like just fine. And, you know, these instruments are making me feel good. And Vibe Nabatita, that's what it means. It's like the vibe, literally the English word vibe on the beat. I think that's how it would be in English. Just like, you know, how the music makes you feel good. That's like what the song's about.
Well, but I like that. Without coming right out and saying it, it's also your way of telling people musically, I am going to be on the beat. I'm not going to be down in the dumps. I'm not going to feel bad. I'm not going to dwell on negative things. I'm going to enjoy life and what I have and celebrate and have fun.
Exactly. And that's what the song's about. 'Cause I love making songs for people to feel good.
But I think, Gabby, I hope you would agree that as a songwriter, you do have a choice to say, I should write about what's going on in the world today, and there's so many heavy things. You could get really pulled into writing very depressing songs that are sad, that make people upset even more than they already are. So I commend you for deciding, no, I'm not going to write about all the heaviness in the world. I'm going to write something that's going to make people dance and keep them happy.
Yeah, well, because we all know what, I mean, we're not saying we all know exactly what's going on in the world, but we have an idea that's like, you know, not always great. You know, we have roller coasters and everything. But yeah, I'm all about, you know, empowerment and just making others feel like good and like, you know, feel like they can dance, they can do whatever they want, and, you know, just making them feel beautiful and just like alive. So I do have one depressing song. It's called One Too Many, but it's because of my bullying story. So I did want to have that in my category.
Well, but yeah. You said I have one song like that. You didn't say I have 21 songs like that. So if you only have one, yeah. I think people will be okay with that.
Yeah. I think it's better to make people feel alive and good. We need that.
I like that. I am joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Miami by singer, songwriter, recording artist Gabby B. Visit her official website at gabbybmusic.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Her new single that you just heard her talk about is called Vibe Nabatita. You heard me say in the intro that that's now 5 new songs already this year. Get all of Gabby's music from Apple Music and other online digital music retailers. Join the more than 160,000 monthly listeners that she has on Spotify by following her on that platform. But again, don't just stream her music. Purchase downloads, as I just described. By the way, this is great. If you go to socials.gabbybmusic.com, you will see a ton of logos, so you can link over to follow her on the likes of Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Snapchat. This morning, I was on the Owl app looking for someone who I got notified signed up using my referral code. Thank you very much for that, podcast listener, blog reader. And for those of you who haven't done so yet, you're missing out. Owl, it's like the bird, but with two W's and two L's, is a social networking platform that connects people instantly through private one-on-one audio calls. Your phone number is not displayed when you call someone through the Owl app, so your privacy is maintained that way. This is a great way to make connections with people quickly instead of waiting around for someone to hopefully accept your connection request and then hopefully answer your private message. On my podcast website, nhte.net, tap or click into the news section and then look for the article in there under the headline, Help Now a Phone App Call Away. The Owl app is free to download, and I have links in that article to get it from the App Store or Google Play. Plus, I have my invitation code in that article because you will need that as you're setting up the app on your phone. It is a required field. Get on Owl and make valuable connections for your career. Gabby, you mentioned this just briefly a couple minutes ago, but can you tell us about your becoming an ambassador for the national organization Boo to Bullying and your anti-bullying advocacy?
Yeah, so I recently just got together with them, and I'm still like looking forward to doing a lot of things with them, but Boo to Bullying is a nonprofit organization for bullying and people like depressed and everything. And basically what they do is they go to schools and they talk to people, and there's like a bunch of us that is like in the entertainment industry and that is like a victim of being bullied. And so like we talk to people, we kind of like make it known that it's like a problem and it's a thing that happens. And like even like you know, us in the entertainment industry that like have success and everything, we've been through that too, because some people like don't believe it, you know. Some a lot of people look at me and was like, oh, you've been bullied, like I don't believe that and stuff like that. But yeah, like I have my own stories and it does happen, and we want to prevent more like suicides. We want to prevent more like wrong things that happens in school that we can like just teach children now and like show them that yes, this happens, or if this happens to you, like here's like some advice that you can like get from us that are older and that's experienced things like that. So like I've been to a couple schools, and I do have a book about like my experience, but it's like more of a kid's book where it's talking about like my first time coming to America, riding this yellow school bus, you know, getting picked up by different like students because I'm like a foreign student. But that's like what I usually like to do. And I'm still like gonna do like a lot of work with them. Like they're located in California, so like I'm just really excited. But yeah, I've been to a couple schools and it was so great because like kids would ask questions and kids would, you know, say like, oh yeah, like I've had people being mean to me, and then like I would give them advice and everything. Or like even on my lives, like I have like this app, it's called Likey, and there's many children on there, which I didn't know at first. But when I go live, there's a lot of children that ask me for advice and says like, Gabby, like I'm such a fan, but like I've been, you know, picked in school and people have been so mean to me, calling me ugly and everything. Or like even like if it's the most simplest thing, like I try to tell them like not to, you know, have that affect you so much, because what happens in school is not going to be an issue anymore when you grow up, but it's going to be with you till the day you die. Like, because like till this day, like things that happen to me in school affect me till now, even though like I feel like, you know, I do so well now, but like I still have like PTSD of certain things that did happen to me, you know, getting spit in school and pushed, and, you know, in different countries, I've been bullied in different ways. Like that sticks with you. So like, it's important for you to share that with kids And, well, I mean, it's important to share with them, like, what could be done, like, good, you know? So, yeah, it's a really good organization. I love it so much.
Yeah, I can tell you're passionate about it, and you have just taught me something, because there's a story that I go back to too often, not all the time, not too much, but I go back to it too often from my days in high school, and I would have never considered it to fall under the bullying category, but I think that's part of what you're doing, is you're educating kids and saying bullying doesn't just look one way. There's not just one clear-cut definition of it. It can look in a lot of different forms, and so you're educating them, and I love that you're doing it so early, like you said, so that for the rest of their lives, they will be confident and they won't have these negative experiences hanging over them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I've been bullied in so many different forms. I love about it now, but like it was such a crisis. Like I've had bad thoughts, you know, like thoughts about suicide and everything. And when I was little, and you know, no kids should go through that, but it happens. It's something that happens. True. Like, but there's other people that think, no, this just happens in movies. And I'm like, no, it happens to a lot of us. And there's a lot of us out there that's happened to, and we want to try to prevent that as much as we can.
Yeah, especially nowadays, we even hear about the fact that bullying can even take place online. So my heart goes out to you. I did not know this about you before we started our interview today. And as you first started your answer, I thought to myself, I need to ask her why she chose anti-bullying as one of her platforms. You could choose cancer, you could choose military, you could choose a lot of things, but you answered it yourself, and it's unfortunate that you experienced it so much, but it's also very commendable that you've used that as a rallying point to say, instead of dwelling in it, I'm going to make sure that I do good with it and stop other kids from suffering from it long term. So thank you for the work that you're doing, because it's very needed.
Thank you.
Let's talk about something else that's important to you, which is female empowerment. And as a result, maybe tell us about music inspiration too.
Yeah, so I'm all about women empowerment. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm like anti-men. I love the men, but I love, like, you know, because like we've been through inequality and stuff like that, you know, like before not being able to vote and stuff. So we've come a long way, but like I just like to make females feel good when they listen to my songs, like instead of being like bashed for like dressing certain types of way or doing certain types of things because we're supposed to cook and, you know, wear big dresses. Like I kind of like to be like, no, be who you want to be, and you know, it's 2024, like, you know, you do what you want, but like it doesn't make you any type of like category. Like, you know, you're not being put into this category because you dress certain types of way. Like just do you. So that's usually like what I like about it. And my inspirations, you mean like in like famous people, right? Like celebrities.
Yeah, I wonder if there's anybody that you see that maybe is a trendsetter, a trailblazer, in the sense of they're doing music that has kind of a female empowerment message to it that maybe inspires you to do the same thing with your own music.
Yeah. Well, you know, growing up, Britney Spears was definitely up there with her lyrics and everything that she would say about being you and, you know, not listening to the hate and everything. But from people now, you might not know her, but her name is Luísa Sonza. She's a really famous Brazilian artist, and I really love what she does now, and like her style of music is kind of like my style of music, and she's been like mixing up the other languages too, and I just love like what she's been doing. And also Anita, I don't know if you know who Anita is, but she's living in Miami now, and she's starting to get very known like worldwide as a Brazilian artist, and I'm like really happy about that, because she's bringing the funk genre to like known to like other people that are not Brazilian, and like just bringing new our world into like more of like different countries and different worlds, and like embracing it and everything, and I'm loving that. So I'm getting inspired by those, because like those are like the two artists that I can consider my songs to be close to, because they mix up the languages and they mix up the fusions, and I love that.
So with the kind of music that you're doing, I would think, and I'm putting this in the form of a question, but I would think that you would be inclined to go back to Brazil now and then to perform, and it sounds like you probably still have family down there. Is that the case? And if so, Is there any reason that you also would try to go back to France, being that you had roots there? I don't think you would go out of your way to go to Canada, because it doesn't sound like you were there long. But am I on to something here with Brazil and possibly France in terms of going back there to perform?
I would go to every country to perform, but a little less than a year ago, I was just in Brazil visiting my family. I have a lot of family over there, like all my family. The only people that are literally outside of Brazil is my parents and my grandparents.
Wow.
That live like close by me. Yeah, so literally there is my home and where I've started my everything. So I would love to perform there. I have not gotten to perform there yet, but I'm hoping that I would. And I would probably cry if I go back to France, because it's literally my childhood. And I remember so much about like the stuff that I've learned there. I've learned a lot of things when I was there, like, you know, my first this, my first that, like. And I would go back to Canada too, because honestly, Canada was such a good country. Like, I really, really enjoyed living in Canada. I lived there for 3 years. It was, like, really nice. And it was the French part of Canada. So I was able to, like, you know, still, like, keep up with the... I mean, even though the French was really different from France, it was still, like, easier for me in school. But, yeah, it would be great.
Well, I'm here to say that you will perform in Brazil, and you will perform in France, and you will perform in Canada. You are so driven, you're so talented, and clearly you set your mind on something and you don't stop until you get there. So I'm here to say that we are going to see in the future when Gabby is posting news about going to perform in one or more of those countries. In the first half of the show, Gabby, you talked about your independent music label, Muy Bueno. What future goals do you have for the label?
Well, I'm hoping, you know, a lot of great stuff, like, you know, succeeding in more things, probably like achieving, you know, awards, I would hope. And maybe like, I mean, most importantly, I feel like I would love to get more artists into my business. Like once I'm settled, I would love to get more artists into the Muy Bueno company and like having like them like be part of the, you know, kind of like any other label. But that would be really nice.
Yeah, and I was actually going to ask you that question, but I want the audience to hear that Gabby is saying someday she would like to get there. So please don't bombard her now with messages and say, I heard you say that you're looking for artists for your label. Not yet. But again, yeah. Gabby, I strongly believe that you will get to that point where you will have other artists on your label.
Thank you. Yeah, I really hope.
The song that you released on May 10th, it's called Queima. Not only does it have over 350,000 streams on Spotify alone as of the day that you and I are recording this, but the video for it already has close to 70,000 views on your YouTube channel. As much as I keep referring to you as a singer, songwriter, and recording artist, are you actually a trained dancer? Because you do a ton of dancing in your live performances, as well as we see in this video for Queima, in your music videos.
Yeah, I like, to me, singing and dancing goes hand to hand. Like, I call myself like an entertainer, performer, because when I'm on stage, I entertain. Like, I like to give a show to my audience. I mean, I, you know, didn't grow up being like going to classes and, you know, training dancing, but, you know, my mom literally is a dancer and a samba dancer and a Brazilian dancer. So growing up, like, that's what I've known to do. And I just grew up like having like the dance in me. So yeah, in my music videos, I love to like have choreos. I love to do different things. I do consider myself a professional dancer. I also consider myself a professional belly dancer. On social media, I do a lot of that. And I have a song called Belly Dancer. But I'm a big fan of belly dancing also.
So do you do the choreography for your music videos and for your live performances? Or is it, no, I have a choreographer. I'm just what I would consider a professional dancer.
Yeah, so I could easily create my own choreography, and I have done that for Pretty Girl Lit. That was one of my songs. But most of the time, I would prefer having a choreographer, because I already do so much in my career. Like, I have a lot of pieces to the puzzle that I have to work on. Like, you know, I have to write songs. I have to go different places and do different things, businesses. I have to travel and, like, work on, like, different things. Like, even, like, I make my own bras, my rhinestone bras for my performances. Like, I make all of that. So, like, I already have so much to do in my career that I can't, like, I need other people to help me, you know, with other parts of it. So I always have, like, a choreographer coming in and just, like, making something, and then I learn it, and then, like, have dancers and everything. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You are wearing a lot of hats. And I do want to mention, before we go on to other things, since I had talked about the music video for Kema, I do want to congratulate you. 1.7 million views on the video for your song Nothing to Me on YouTube. And that just came out on April 5th. Not a ton of dancing in it, but it's a video that obviously has been very well received.
Yeah, so that was actually, the music video was such a different, like, turn that we made, because the song is really like a story. So I wanted to make the video more like a story. And yeah, I'm really happy. I think it's my biggest video on YouTube. And yeah, the languages are Portuguese and English in that song. So it means a lot to me. Like, when I was writing it, it was more like an experience. So it was kind of like a story about, like, one of my ex who just, like, wasn't really good to me, and I kind of found that out, and, you know, I realized he actually meant nothing to me because I don't think about him now.
Well, the video did a great job of representing it, because I felt like we were rooting for your character as that video went along, because we're watching him and all of a sudden we see what he's really up to, and as much as we're disliking him, I think we're rallying around Gabby's character because, you know, we're there for you, kind of thing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I had so much fun working on that. And actually, the actor, his name's Tony Skits. He's really big on social media, and he was, like, amazing. Like, he's an amazing actor, so I really enjoyed working with him.
Let's have some fun here before we start to wind things down. Maybe who your favorite artists are right now, the artist you would most like to do a collab with, and why, and perhaps even where do you see yourself in 5 years?
All right. Well, I want to shout out to the artists, Luisa Sonza and Anita, because they're literally Brazilian, just like me, and they're doing what I want to do also. So shout out to them. And the future collabs that I would love, there's some from the Latin side, like Mariah Angelique and Brai. I really love their style. I would love to work with them. And from the Brazilian side, I have Denny's, that he's like a DJ Cali. I would love to work with someone like him. And Pedro Sampaio also, and Poca, Ludmilla. Those are some names that I want to throw out that I would love to work with. They're, like, literally my inspiration, and it would be great. It would be awesome. And then for the fee in 5 years, well, obviously we can't know the future, but I mean, I would love to be doing, you know, bigger stages. That would be amazing. Or, like, going to some of these bigger award shows. That would be, like, awesome. Or, like, maybe even, like, being in a movie, you know, like, even if I'm, like, one of the side characters, like, I would love, like, to be in a movie and do, like, more, you know, like, not just sing, but do more. And yeah.
Well, out of everything you just said, I'll be very surprised if you're not playing much bigger stages 5 years from now.
Thank you.
We're going to close today with another one of Gabby's original songs. I alluded to the video for it having 1.7 million views on her YouTube channel, a song called Nothing to Me. Gabby, you did start to talk about it a little bit, but before I let you go and I play that track, just share more with the audience first, all about this song, if you would, please.
Yeah, so when I was writing this song, like, obviously I first have the beat. It was like I instantly thought about my ex and how he made me feel, like, you know, being manipulative, you know, someone who wasn't good for me. And then, you know, realizing that and then being like, I'm better off without you. I'm better with myself. And you really meant nothing to me. And that's really what the song's about.
Do you feel that when you wrote that it was therapeutic for you to get it out of your system? Did you feel that I want him to hear this because this is my way of expressing anger to him? Did you feel that maybe this will help other women? Was it all of those things?
It was definitely number one and three. It was less about him hearing it. It's been so many years. I've been, you know, I don't really care what he does now because it doesn't really bother me. But when I was writing it, I put myself at the time that he was hurting me and he was doing all of these things that was manipulative and gaslighting. And that's like how I, you know, put myself in the storyline. And it was like refreshing to get it out and put it in the song for like millions of people to hear. So yeah, and obviously like every song I make it as so other people can relate to it too. A lot of women has gone through the same thing that this song has talked about. So I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the conversation that we had about female empowerment, that this song indirectly is kind of sending a message to women that if you have a man that's doing to you what he did to me, you're better off with yourself and it's okay to make that decision to be alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Gabby, congratulations on the latest single. There's been so many already this year, but best of luck to you. I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you for making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad to be here.
With that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to singer, songwriter, recording artist, and I will add on dancer, Gabby B. Do visit her official website at GabbyBmusic.com. As I mentioned before, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, NHTE.net. Lots of new music from Gabby for you to put your ears on. Yes, sure, do join the masses and give her a follow on Spotify, but support Gabby by purchasing downloads of her original music from Apple Music and other online digital music retailers. As I mentioned before, if you go to socials.gabbybmusic.com, you'll see a page that has logos across the top so you can go engage with her on social media. Today, I followed Gabby on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and I'm sure she would appreciate you doing the same. Additionally, connect with her through TikTok, YouTube, and even Snapchat. For that matter, tell Gabby you heard her and her music on Now Hear This Entertainment. I say it every week, but I honestly mean it. I do truly hope that you like this show, that you're enjoying what I'm doing every week on the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you've made it all the way to the end, thank you for having stuck with Gabby and I, and I'm going to assume that that means that you do like the podcast. You can take action to let me know that you appreciate the work that I do to keep making this show happen every week, every month, more than 10 years without missing once, by going on my podcast website, nhte.net, and then using the yellow Buy Me a Coffee logo that you will see there. This is not a sponsor. It's not affiliated with any brand or chain. It's just a fun way for you to send your support, your thanks to me, including a note that I will see when you utilize that option. You can also just head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. That's going to do it for episode 542. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Gabby B. This is the one she just talked about. It's called Nothing to Me. Tudo que me falou tornou uma mentira. O jogo que cê brincou só foi com a minha vida. Manipulação, confiança em ti não tenho mais. É que não volto não e agora você corre atrás. Misguided as filled with broken promise. I thought that you were honest, but you were really nothing to me. Safado quebrou o nosso fogo. Pensei que fosse outro, but you were really nothing to me. Não era objetivo. Comigo não vai mais enganar. Tenho que seguir pra frente, não precisa me explicar. Sem você tem charme, me cantei com teu beijo. Had me in a trance, mas eu perdi meu desejo. Misguided as filled with broken promise. I thought that you were honest, but you were really nothing to me. Safado quebrou o nosso fogo. Pensei que fosse outro.